Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles still, and every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 on the Mountain Side, we do this radio show for and with Ken Nielsen. Ken is a customer of ours, and a couple of years ago, as a regular customer of ours, one thing led to another. We started talking a lot, and then he called me somewhat recently and said that he was working on something new and wanted the best way to be able to get in front of as many people as he possibly could, and threw on the little caveat that it's kind of confusing out there. You know, a lot of people just don't know what to do. So whether it's brain fog, based on the stuff that we were talking about before we got on the radio show with, you know, COVID, or if it's, you know, brain fog as a result of, like, how the heck do I handle all the different things that are happening in an ever-changing world, the reality is a lot of people are having some challenges with trying to figure it out. So as they're trying to figure it out, I said, Ken, you know, the biggest challenge is a lot of people don't know where to go for good information. You know, who can they trust? So he said, well, let's do some radio shows, and we have to figure out a name for a radio show. He was looking at some domain names that he had and some ideas that we were talking about like trust and truth. And he had one called countonthetruth.com. And that one really resonated with me. I said, that's what we want. We want people because they're looking to, you know, work with people, talk to people, depend on people that are going to tell them the truth. So let's use countonthetruth.com. So we helped him build a website. He's done some amazing things with that as well. And we wrap this around radio shows every week at this time, live if we can be on live, recording if there's some kind of a technical snafu or maybe a challenge with somebody as far as their schedule is concerned. But we're here all the time, and you'll be able to hear these radio shows. If you go back to countonthetruth.com, we feed them into that website, or if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/countonthetruth, you'll be able to see it there as well, or look for Ken Nielsen as far as a Building Fortunes Radio show guest. So having said that, I'm going to say, Ken, thanks for being here on your own radio show. We do this every Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 on the Mountainside, and again, thanks for spending some time every week and being here.
Hello, Peter. Hey, great to be here again, and appreciate your time and your efforts in keeping me on the straight and narrow, so to speak, and your guidance and expertise as always. Some of the things that I've been looking at over the last week, because we know that we get a chance to get on here on Tuesdays and get a chance to get connected and talk to you about some of the many aspects that are associated with the home business industry, is I have wondered a little bit about all my experiences in quote-unquote search and rescue, because we've actually done some of that on a volunteer basis, and I'm usually mostly associated with that as far as in the winter times, as far as people getting lost with their snowmobiles or doing stuff with snowmobiles that they probably shouldn't be doing and get carried away and yet they end up places that they shouldn't be, and you kind of wonder how they got there, what was their thought process that put them there in the first place. I could tell you all kinds of fun stories about people getting lost. But during the month of July, when we had Independence Day and we had our July celebrations with 4th of July and then, of course, Pioneer Day and then a couple of other events that were going on, like I said in a previous episode, I'd run across some people that I hadn't seen in a long time. And this last week, I got talking to somebody that was familiar with somebody that I had gone to school with, which was quite a surprise. And we got mentioning some names, and one of the gentleman's names that came up ended up being a sheriff out here in the valley that we belong to and the towns that we're in. He said, yeah, you ever hear about the story when he got, he wasn't necessarily lost under the ice, but being that he's the sheriff of the outlying towns, they were involved in search and rescue with scuba diving And I don't know how familiar you are with scuba diving, and I don't know if you've ever tried that, Peter, but they say that you have tried scuba diving?
Oh, yeah. Certified scuba diver when I was a kid in New York, yep.
Ah, very interesting. Now, did you end up being certified?
Yes. Yeah, I went through the courses to be certified, yep. Not that I remember it now, but way back then, yes.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Well, I know I've only been scuba diving a couple of times, and I was really amazed at kind of how it was all put together, and you get your gear on and all the stuff that's required so that they can, you know, you got hand signals. It's just a different way of communicating. And one of those two times, I have to tell you, was in a pool, just a regular swimming pool where they were teaching the class. But I always thought it was interesting that it's actually you get your mouthpiece in and you get down underneath the water. It's actually easier to breathe with all that apparatus on than it is just to sit up here being a normal human being and breathing, because once you start the air to kind of come into your lungs, it almost is on the edge of forcing air into your lungs. And I thought, wow, isn't that crazy? It's easier to breathe doing the scuba diving than it is just to be up on top of the water being normal. So anyways, this younger guy that we knew ended up being sheriff had a search and rescue that they had to do underneath the ice. And they'd set up a lifeline, because he's talking about it. In fact, I was just going to try and see if I could find the story again and maybe post that on my website just for somebody that might be curious and listening. But they had gone to find out where the rescue that was needed was taking place. And he's underneath the ice, and for some reason, his breathing apparatus, he can't figure out what's going on, but he goes, it seems like I'm running out of air. And so he's looking at all these gauges and everything, trying to figure out what's going on. Well, pretty soon, he's got no air coming in. And I don't know, he's trying to figure out how far away he was from the opening in the ice. Because as you get underneath and you're headed a certain direction, you don't just, you know, eat a can of spinach like Popeye and bust through the ice and you're okay. The ice is thick enough that there's usually only one way in and one way out. And I mean, for me, I've done a lot of spelunking and, you know, cave exploring, and I just don't have that feeling of being claustrophobic. I'm not like a lot of the people that get claustrophobic, but I kept watching this story, and I thought, man, if that didn't cause any type of claustrophobic, boy, I'll tell you, that story did get me, because he realized that he had basically still had air in his tanks, but something was malfunctioned, and it was the same as not having air. And because of the training that he had, he kept thinking, you know, as I came along starting to set up this return rope, this rescue rope or line that went back to where they had entered the ice, he goes, I know that there's pockets of air, there's bubbles under here, this ice. He goes, I've got to get to that pocket, that last pocket of, or that bubble of air that I had found. And so he turned around and he's going, man, am I glad that we had the rescue line set up. Well, he got to his first pocket and took out his mouthpiece and started breathing that air and sucking, you know, trying to get as close to the ice as he could. And I thought, man, talk about high intensity, just absolutely incredible. And he talked about how many pockets of air, the bubbles that he got to, but luckily he found his way back to where they had entered the ice and got out and survived, and they told that. I think it was on the History Channel, but I thought, man, how would, you know, it's just, for me, it seems like sometimes that's how we get ourselves positioned. We're trying to help people. We're trying to show people a certain way to do things or how people can be better at what they do or find something that's going to help them to make life easier or better. I know that Dani Johnson, in one of her presentations that she gives, which is really what I like to lean on, so to speak, is just really fun, because she's talking about how everybody gets to the point where we know what we're supposed to do. We're taught certain things at school. We see how other people are living their lives, and we take some things for granted. We just figure that's how it is. You go to school, you get an education, you find a job, you end up finding a mate that you're really in love with, you get married, you've got a family, And at some point along the way, whether it's during school or during the courtship or getting married or having the family, and you finally just say, if this is it, it ain't worth it. And she gets you emotionally involved, and she says, but there's something that we can do to change that and help you. And that's kind of how I see the home-based business industry is you can live paycheck to paycheck, like Don Fela, we talked about last week, had said, but there's a way to own your life at the same time. And it's ingenious what some of these people have put together so that we do have the opportunity to find a home-based business that works for us. And I know in your experience and through your timeline, so to speak, you've met many people who've been involved in the industry and who teach people how to get involved and how to make it a niche or a second income or a way to get ahead, because I know that if you're just living paycheck to paycheck, you're never going to get ahead. It's just, it's impossible because of the way inflation works and the way that the dollar is deflated, those types of things. It's a real paradigm because, I mean, either you got, well, we know there's some people that have more money than they have time, and some people have more time than money, and you've got to try and find that happy balance. So I thought maybe we might be able to just talk about a few of the things that maybe that we look for in a home-based business opportunity that would help people, because I think we have the ability or a problem of taking simple things and making them more difficult. So that being said, I know when you were teaching back at the University of Illinois at Chicago, I would think that you would probably have maybe a few key points or elements that you might would tell the students maybe what to look for. Did you do anything on that type of, presentations? Would you try to get them to think about certain things before they would just go out and just join any business that was out there at the time?
Yeah, we would. There would be a little bit like a checklist, if you will, but a checklist with a kind of a, how would I say, like a question mark next to each one, because just because there was either something good in the good column or something in the bad column didn't necessarily mean that company was good or bad. And I'll use this as an example. Let's say, for instance, one of the good things would be that the company had experience in running a network marketing company already. So sometimes a distributor thinks, hey, it's like the typical thing that Michael Gerber talks about in the E-Myth. Just because I know how to cut hair doesn't mean that I should run a barbershop. Or just because I know how to do nails doesn't necessarily mean that I should be a nail salon business owner. Or just because I can sell vacuums doesn't mean I should be able to run the vacuum store. So there's a lot of things that are important. It's always better if you know how to do all those things to be able to run that store, or maybe not, depending on the situation. So one of the things that we would always look for, or I would always look for, is the experience of the management or the owners. So previous experience would make sense to be a lot better, but sometimes brand new, unbridled enthusiasm in this kind of industry really does mean a difference. So levels of enthusiasm could outweigh levels of security or stability or conservatism. So it's really kind of interesting. So these would be the checklists, and then you'd have to kind of analyze each one of those checklists. And what we probably should do is take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and continue that after you can comment on that. So we're listening to Ken Nielsen on the Building Fortunes Radio Show. This is Count on the Truth. If you go to countonthetruth.com, you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous radio shows. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with Ken Nielsen. We're talking about count on the truth and maybe some of the criteria that somebody would use to be able to manage their decision on checking whether they should join a network marketing company or not. So, Ken, back to you.
No, very good, Peter. Yeah, some great points that you brought up there. And I know early on when we were kind of transitioning from the way that we kind of did things, the old days, because, I mean, we used the three-foot rule, which was pretty crazy back then. If you saw somebody that you thought you might be interested in having be in your business or somebody you thought was sharp enough to actually do the business, you would approach them and kind of introduce yourself or bring up a couple of things. You might even talk about the weather for a couple of seconds and say, have you ever thought about the possibility of having your own business or maybe having your wife do something a little bit extra to help with the income in the family. So, but I know the transition that went from the three-foot rule to where they had marketing systems to where they have the whole shebang where you have the different types of tools, where you have a capture page, a presentation, autoresponders, and that type of thing. And I know that's kind of what's going on today. I remember being, you'd mentioned the company LifeForce. I think that was Ray Faltinsky. Isn't that the name of the gentleman that started LifeForce? Or not LifeForce,
no.
But Free Life. Free Life.
He did Free Life, yep.
Yeah, okay. I get mixed up there with some of the lives that are in there. Yeah, with Free Life, and I remember there was a group of university students who were unbelievably good with graphics, and they started their own tool system business so that you would sign up with them. They had X amount of capture pages that you could use, and then you would go, people would sign up, they would go to the presentation video, and then they had the chance to receive the different emails depending on how many emails were being sent out. But that was with a company called Free Life, and boy, did they gain some traction after that. They had introduced their marketing system because it made it possible for the people that really weren't, so to speak, great at doing presentations. They actually did the presentations for them. They followed up with the emails, and that was just a matter of kind of connecting with people. And you could find out whether or not they were interested in doing the business. And, of course, then the compensation plan came in. I mean, that's always been there, of course, but you kind of had to make a decision on whether or not that type of compensation, the way that you earned, the way that you made a profit and increased your earnings as far as moving on and moving forward, that was part of the equation that was associated with the marketing systems. So, and I don't know, did you ever, and again, going back to some of your presentations, I know that you were looking as far as management and those people that knew how to actually run the company. Did you, segregate or put the different types of compensation plans into different columns or categories so that people would be able to recognize the way that you were able to profit from the way that the actual company worked as far as making a profit from that particular investment or adventure, so to speak? Did you ever explain the differences as far as that goes, as far as the compensation,
now,
Peter?
That was one thing that was more of a personal choice or personal bias, if you will, on which ones were good, because everybody had, when I say everybody, if you had, you know, a room of X amount of people, X amount
yeah.
of people would have their favorites. Some would like stair-step breakaways for their whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Some would like binary. Some would like, you know, stuff that were more like a unilevel or stuff like that. Some people say go wide. Some people would go narrow. So it really depends as far as that on whoever you were talking to and maybe their previous experiences. So the only advice that I would have would be learn your compensation plan and then learn how to maximize the compensation plan, and then learn how to maximize the compensation plan within the company's policies and procedures. So Some people will allow multiple family members in the same household in the compensation plan.
Right.
Other companies might not. So
true.
It really depends. And by the way, everything is okay when it's small. It's when it gets big and worthwhile that it usually
yeah.
becomes an issue. So I'd say compensation
correct.
Plans were probably the one category that many people were so varied at, it probably depended on who you talked to.
All right. So what you're saying is that was more like a personal opinion and kind of stuck with that and let them kind of make that decision.
Yep.
I know now for me and because of my experience, so I'm just going to kind of throw this out here. I have always taught people and so that they'll kind of know what I'm thinking without having to actually get me on the phone and ask me. But I've always believed that if you go wide for show and deep for dough and the reason I say that is because I think you have to have, it's kind of a combination of everything. I mean, if you, for example, if you're building a unilevel or you're building a stair-step breakaway, that type of thing, I mean, you really have to know the business to some extent or be involved in it for a certain amount of time because you have to have a certain amount of people that you're constantly talking to. You have to be able to actually work, for example, the unilevel because that's more of a go-wide type show as opposed to go deep for dough. I know that you're kind of working, of course, with the people that really want to work, and that's kind of how you separate the people that are there to really do the business, that are really emotionally involved, that are really intensely involved, really have the focus, and maybe even have the time to do it, because time is such an incredible commodity that so many people don't have today because it seems like so many people are working two jobs, maybe even three jobs, plus their spouse is working. And the paradigm is, I mean, that's why you do this is because you're trying to make an extra income or ease the inflation that's out there trying to chop our heads off in the first place. How do you keep up? And I watch it happen with a lot of people. They come to me and they go, you know what? In fact, I was shocked the other day when a gentleman came up to me and he says, hey, our landlord raised our rent by $300 per month. I didn't even know that was possible. I thought they could only go a certain percentage. And I said, so you went? He says, yeah, we went from $900 a month to $1,200 a month. And I was like, man, it's just like you're all of a sudden that $300 is just plain gone. And you're saying if you had an extra $300 to $500, would that make your life, you know, better as far as your finances go? And, of course, it would. But now instead of adding to your financial situation, it's just in a blink of an eye, you're taking it away. And so I kind of think of it as, not to get off subject here, but going back to the different compensation plans, I know that there's been, because of what's happening in the last little while, there's been hybrids. And so they'll have you come in, for example, with a certain type of compensation plan that makes you money up front. And then as you come into the program, after you go through that phase of the first part of the compensation plan, then they move you either into like a matrix on the backside, so whether it's a 2x12 or a 3x8 or whatever it might be, I know you start talking those terms and that type of thing, and that kind of frustrates some people that maybe don't understand the mathematics or it catches them off guard, and they go, what do you mean by that? And so it takes a little bit of time to explain that. But your thought on the hybrids, and I know this might catch you off guard a little bit. Do you recall any companies that you can recall or think of that have used, instead of just saying there's one type of compensation plan, it's a combination of something up front that makes money quickly and then moves you into something else on the back end so that you have short-term money and then long-term money at the same time? Anything like that that you can think of, Peter?
You know, that's a tougher question to ask simply because what you prefer is an opportunity to receive money quickly through maybe fast start compensation
mm-hmm.
or bonuses. So look for something where, you know, if you make a sale or sponsor a recruit and you're going to get paid on the commissions, that they would be somewhat on a timely basis. The old-fashioned way was you'd have to wait until the end of the month and then maybe halfway
yeah.
through the next month, maybe a little bit later on. But there are some companies that offer faster bonuses, like fast start bonuses. So that might be number one if you're looking to be able to make some money right away. The depth of your organization really is the greatest long-term residual income, because you might be paid a little bit, but on hundreds or thousands of individual efforts. And that's about as rock solid as you can get when it comes to long-term stability, because although somebody might get COVID and maybe somebody, you know, loses their job or quits or gets disinterested, when your income is based on hundreds and thousands of people, there's more stability even if a few percentage of them fall off, because more people will be added on every month. So those are just some things to think about when you're designing something. Typically speaking, if you have something where you can make a little bit of money up front, maybe a higher package where the commissions would be, you know, generous, it's a little bit easier to be able to make that $500 to $1,000 per month that most people are looking for when they start something like this. And that might keep people in the game mentally, because they can see how the rewards might be coming in. So look for something that's a little bit aggressive on the upfront, but also has that long-term possibility for residual growth towards the end. And obviously, companies that are always adding products, giving you the support, evolving their story, are those that are going to keep the attention of most people.
Right, right. Yeah, no, great insights again. I know that on a few of the companies that, well, I get phone calls now and then. They want to know if I've heard of this company or heard of that company. And, of course, some of them, as you're kind of looking, exploring the Internet, doing some other things, they'll pop up. And just the way that YouTube has their algorithms set up, apparently you come across another concept that's been associated with something else, and it says, okay, here's what we're doing. This is new, something that you need to take a look at. And, of course, if it's health and wellness industry, of course, it's basically maybe a particular product or element that comes from nature that's going to make things work better for you mentally, health-wise, keep your body healthy. Maybe it's going to have something to do with immunity, your immunity system, trying to fight off. Because I know, you know, it's interesting that we just kind of mentioned COVID real quick here before we were talking on the program, and some of the things that it seems like COVID is just one of those deals where it's going to mutate and it's just not going to go away. So you've got to keep your body healthy and prepared for whatever it kind of throws at you, or sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. And in fact, like with the Olympics that have happened over the last couple of weeks, I know that some of the runners and some of the participants have actually come down with COVID, and you're going, how come one person gets COVID and another person doesn't get COVID? So there's actually things out there that can help, you know, keep away the bug, so to speak, and make it so that it doesn't affect you as much as it could have. But this COVID is going to be a tricky thing that we need to keep our eyes on. And I know that there are products and elements out there that can make a difference in people's lives. And of course, I'd like to tote the fact that one of the companies that I'm working with actually has a couple of those products. And it has to do with immunology and your ability to fight this off. So if you start to see people around you or people in your area starting to have this COVID issue again, it might be something that you want to consider and take a look at. But anyways, yeah, a whole bunch of different kind of aspects to the industry. Again, like I mentioned just a little bit earlier, I'm a true believer that the people that go wide, they do it wide for show, but you got to go deep for dough. And I think it's a combination of both of those. I think you've got to build, at some point you've got to build width, at some point you've got to build depth, and you just have to know when it is and when is the right time and the best ways to kind of get started, to get anchored and make that work for you. So, again, with that being said, take a look here at the clock real quick, and it looks like our time has flown by. And I know I told you we had a storm system coming in here, and I was a little bit worried about having lightning and that maybe shut down the computer or electricity here and where I'm at, but it looks like it's going to go south of us. So we dodged that bullet, but Great having you here again, Peter, and getting a chance to talk to you and maybe throw a few things out there, and so people can go to countonthetruth.com and take a look at some of the stuff and catch up with what we've got going and hopefully help them in making some decisions on what they want to do next. So I'll throw it back to you and kind of tie everything together, and we'll go from there and probably show up again next week.
Wonderful information. So for those people that are listening in, make sure you go to countonthetruth.com. So it's countonthetruth.com, just as it sounds, countonthetruth.com. And you can also check out buildingforgeradio.com and then look for Ken Nielsen as a guest, or Count on the Truth on the radio shows, and you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous ones. But the most important thing that I want to mention, if for those people who are looking to figure this crazy world out, whether it's to make some extra money or buy some time or get healthy or any of those things, make sure you check out what Ken has been working on. He's a really great guy. I believe in him. We support him on the radio shows. He's somebody who's going to be right behind you, be able to help every step of the way and do what's in your best interest as well as what's his best interest as well. So just check him out. Super duper knowledgeable, and we'll see everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks,
you've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.